Good morning to everybody, and special welcome to our visitors. I am not the regular evangelist here, but I am one of the elders, and I have been presenting a series of lessons, and this is the fourth in that series. So basically, you're coming in the fourth act of a five-act play. So as we talk about this morning, are the other three lessons are up on our website. So this topic, if you haven't heard the other three lessons, which have all grown as blocks, and they have been part of a foundation, and they are important to this fourth lesson, and also the fourth lesson is important to the fifth lesson, and each grow on it. Because the topic is difficult, is probably the easiest way to say it. And the topic is church discipline. We have, and I would like to go back and be able to review all the things that I've covered so far on this topic, but we wouldn't actually get to the topic part of it today. We've been using this passage, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, which, as you read, has nothing to do specifically with church discipline. But it has three key points that need to be kept in mind with church discipline, and that is love, mercy, justice. I'm sorry, I came up with four there. Come up with justice, love, and humility. Those three things are very important keys when church discipline is involved. And also, I've been, for every lesson, have been showing you a picture of this structure. This is a communications tower for our visitors, if you're not familiar with it. And you notice that there are three standard legs, and there are a whole lot of cross pieces. And I have referred for each lesson that the legs are justice and mercy and humility, as brought out in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. The other cross pieces are necessary to be able to allow the structure to stand. And this structure, if you start taking out cross pieces, you start weakening the structure. And the same goes with church discipline. There are a whole lot of cross pieces that give church discipline its strength. And whenever you start leaving out one of them intentionally, the whole structure starts really becoming unstable very quickly. Now, some of those other cross pieces, it's been interesting, since I've been giving these lessons, and even Jonathan this morning, as he was presiding over the table, gave you a small piece of cross member to strengthen in this area. But these topics here, Wilson Adams just came out of our forum, and there were three lessons, and I'm sitting there going, that ties in with my lessons. That ties in with my lessons. In fact, one lesson, I told Wilson, I said, you just preached about 70% of what I was going to talk about today. So I asked that you go back and listen to his three lessons. I choose God's love, I choose to take a stand, and I choose to forgive, because they all tie into church discipline in just different ways. Caleb, when he preached, doing what's hard. This is hard. Church discipline is hard because we love the people involved. Stephen has had multiple lessons. One, and I've completely forgot it, he texted to me this morning, where he talked about a rope being eternity and how much the rope, he had a piece of tape on it. And that's our life compared to the rope in eternity. And he tied it in. Eddie Legg, when he was here, his lesson on redemption. Scott has hit multiple things. I'm sitting there going, that ties in, this ties in. It's amazing when you start paying attention how many things in one lesson tie into other lessons and other things that we need to learn about. Jake, two are better than one. We're stronger that way. And also, Brando Delgado, do we really trust God? So all these men have been adding cross members to this structure. Sometimes it's only a few sentences within a sermon, but sometimes the whole sermon is adding many members. We've talked about several passages that deal with this topic. We've talked about going to somebody who has wronged us, Matthew chapter 18. We've talked about that didn't work, and we need to kind of escalate things to where we involve two or three witnesses. This lesson today is when all those different things don't work. The person is still continuing and refuses to repent and refuses to turn back to God. At that point, what do we do? And I've tried to stay off most of this, but we get down to the passages that we've already read, and almost every one of them address the final step. And actually, it isn't the final step. The final step we'll talk about next week, or 2 weeks from now. But we're going to get to this step. Withdraw yourselves. It's easy for us, when we start looking at that, in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, there's a whole lot more to that passage, talking about church discipline. But this is the final step. Withdraw yourselves. And this morning, we're going to talk about exactly what does that mean? What does that entail? Well, these passages are very clear in their information. 2 Thessalonians 3:14 actually talks about, note that man, have no company with them. Matthew 18, this is the passage that Christ is talking about if a brother sins against you, go to that person, and then take witnesses, then tell it to the church. The whole church knows about it. And that person is to be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. You have to have understanding, though, at that time, that the Jewish people that he was talking to would not want to have anything to do with a Gentile or a tax collector. And we see that he is criticized for being friends with, eating with, being in their houses, these type of people. So he says, when you withdraw from them, when you are at that point, at that stage, that he's telling the Jewish people, it should be as such as a Gentile or a tax collector. Titus chapter 3:10 is one of the other passages. At the end it says, have nothing more to do with him. 1 Corinthians 5:9-13. Not to associate. And I ask that if you would to turn to that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. When we repeat something, it normally means it's important. When we repeat something, we normally mean that it's important. So I get your attention. It's amazing how many of you just looked up when I said that again. In 1 Corinthians, I want to read through this passage. All those other passages we can look at. But do you notice what it talks about? 2 Thessalonians, we have a term, and we talk about withdrawing fellowship. We're going to withdraw fellowship from somebody who's not walking according to Christ. You will not find that passage or find that two words together, as far as I could research, anywhere in the Bible together. But for us as Christians, it's an easy way of a way we return. We refer to doing something. So we talk about withdrawing fellowship. And we're going to talk about fellowship here in a minute, what that means. But if you look at these passages, it's very clear. That step, that the person will not turn around, they will not turn back to Christ, they will not do what is right at that point in time, have no company with, be to you as a Gentile and tax collector, have nothing to do with them, not to associate, or 2 Thessalonians, withdraw yourself. Pretty important concepts. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And as I said, notice things that are said twice seem to be important. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy, and swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality, or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Notice the strong language Paul uses here. He's pretty direct. He repeats an idea again and again. Not to associate with the individual. Not even to eat with them. The last verse, verse 13. Purge the evil from among you. Now in verse 11 you'll see that lists a bunch of sins. A bunch of things. That is not a comprehensive list of all sins. And it also, that means that just because a sin is not listed here doesn't mean that you can't withdraw from somebody because of it. It's giving an idea. It's giving a purpose. Paul wouldn't be able to list all the possible sins, but he's giving ideas. If they are of this, if they will not turn back. And you also notice that Paul specifically states that this does not apply to people of the world. Because there's a whole lot of other passages that we are to teach others about Christ, those in the world. So if we withdraw from them, and we have nothing to do with them, how can we have a hope of teaching them? Paul specifically points it out here. He's not talking about those people. He's talking about those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Those who have put on Christ are actually the ones they're talking about. Now, there's an important point here on the whole thing of withdrawal. Ben, here's $100. See it? I'm going to withdraw it from you. Did it exist? Was there $100 in my hand? Anybody see it? No. There wasn't anything there. So what's Ben going to say? Hey, I'm going to give you this. No, I'm going to withdraw it. Ben's going to look at me and go, yeah, so what? There wasn't anything there. The same goes with withdrawing or not associating with somebody. If I don't know somebody that's a Christian that's with, and I go up to them and say, I'm going to withdraw fellowship from you. So what? I don't even know who you were. There has to be a relationship there first. And that relationship is the whole crux of withdrawing from somebody. If the relationship does not exist, there's nothing to withdraw from. There's nothing to withdraw. It's so, so important. And as we talked in lesson one, that the church needs to work together. Your hand understands that without blood, it's going to die. So without the heart, without the digestive system, without the brain, without everything working together, and it having a relationship with the rest of the body, it can't do its job. You need to make sure that you know your brothers and sisters and that you have a relationship with them. Because when it gets to the point where you have to talk to them about sin, or that the congregation gets to this point, there has to be something to withdraw from. Withdraw. In the last 6 months, I've had four instances within this congregation. Our congregation is very good about so many things. And I think this is a very limited example. But I've had four instances in the last 6 months that have bothered me. Two of them dealt with the duties for the men in the morning, and I had brothers who, and sometimes our duty list, there's three B-Seckers on there. There's three Lockwoods, and two of them both start with J. So it can be somewhat confusing. But I've had brothers ask me and say, well, who is this? Oh, that's such and such. Who is that? And in one case, I really was tempted to say, well, that brother's been worshiping with us for 5 years. You should know them. Two other ones, when I was talking about a need, somebody needed help, the brother or sister had no idea who I was talking about in a congregation. That shows that there's no relationship there. They don't even know who they are. We're not a huge congregation. If we were a congregation of 800-900, as some congregations are, I would say, yeah, okay. That it's kind of hard to keep up with everybody. But we have about 140. You should be able to at least look around the room and name your brothers and sisters, at least by first name, and have an idea. And I'm not just saying the statement of the people who I was talking to are in the wrong. Also, the individuals who were being referred to, it's a two-sided relationship. If you look in this room, visitors excluded, hopefully you welcome them, but if there's somebody in this congregation that you look at and you do not know their name, you do not know something about them, I say it's up to you to actually find them, shake their hand, introduce yourself, whatever you have to do, and find out about them so you know them. Because that relationship with your brothers and sisters are so important. When you have, I can think of a family that I grew up near when I was a kid. One daughter was 18, and the oldest daughter was 18 when the youngest was born. And I every once in a while go in their Facebook page and I see that they are still interacting. They are still acting together. They know each other. They're siblings. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're going to spend eternity with them if both of you do everything you're supposed to. You get to spend eternity with them. Would you not like to know them now? And if they're having trouble, would you not like to be able to help them? Or if you have trouble, that they help you to build each other up, edify? Also, one other point with this withdrawal thing, and I want to make sure. Did you notice who it's to? Actually, that's a point that I'm going to come up to. My apologies. But the relationship, concentrate. If there is somebody in here in this congregation and you don't know who they are, you need to find them. You need to learn who they are. Or when it gets to this point where we're withdrawing from somebody, you're not going to know who it is, and they're going to look at you and go, I don't care. I talked about this part, withdrawing fellowship. Fellowship isn't a word that we normally use as much. I find it interesting that the volunteer fire department that I'm in, they talk about fellowship a lot. Most other instances, I don't think most clubs or anything else talk about this. And everything that you see on here is Merriam-Webster and what defining what fellowship is, companionship, company, community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience, a company of equal or friends, association, a quality or state. And my wife said, can you say this word? And I said it well in front of her, and now I'm not sure that I can. Comradely, and I don't think I said that quite right, meaning communications for building trust. By the way, Merriam-Webster had all kinds of pronunciations that you could listen to. That was one of them. So apparently it must be a hard word. But this fellowship, this is important stuff. This is important. Building trust between your brothers and sisters, that if they're telling you that there is a problem, that they have your best interests, that they love you, they have your best interest at heart? This fellowship is an important thing. But it is necessary. If you're going to withdraw it, it's got to be there. You can't withdraw something that just does not exist. So, who's to do it? Back to the same passages again. Back to the same four passages. Who's to do it? In 2 Thessalonians, the Thessalonians are told to, and you see the whole section, this book is addressed to the Christians at to the church at Thessalonica. That's in chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew 18, Christ tells. Tell it to the whole church. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Remind them. Titus is being told by Paul, you are to remind, the letter is to Titus, but he's saying, remind them. Give them this idea. In verse 3 and 1. And in verse 3 and 3, or chapter 3, verse 8, it's profitable for the people to understand these things. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13. Chapter 1, verse 2. It's to the church that's at Corinth. All these instructions from Paul are to the church at Corinth. You notice in those passages who it's not to? It kind of is. Does it say anywhere in there that the elders are to withdraw from these individuals? Does it say that the evangelists are to withdraw from these individuals? They are part of the group of the church, yes. But it is not up to the elders to say, well, the four of us are going to withdraw from somebody. It's for the church. The elders will be involved. We are to be the spiritual leaders of the group. And a lot of times, it's very possible that we're going to know about something that we're just not going to give all the details, but tell you that this person is living in sin and they're not repenting. They're not turning back. So it's time to withdraw. And we'll lead that process. But these passages are the whole church. Not to part, not to a section, not to, well, 5 or 10, to the whole church. This is why this topic is important. That's why I've been bringing it to the congregation. Because the whole congregation is involved. The whole body is required to do this process. So let's look at individual responsibilities. One of the first ones I've already talked about. Love your brother and sister enough that you know who they are, to know what their needs are, to pray for them, to be concerned about them. If you ever get to the point where we're in the middle of, or you're in the middle, wherever you are, in a process of withdrawing fellowship, and you look at it and go, about time, that's good, oh yeah, I will tell you that you are in the wrong mindset, because this is just downright sad. We are losing a brother or sister in Christ. And if your mindset is of Micah chapter 6, 8, that justice is being done, finally. This is a brother and sister who have separated themselves from God and from Christ, and they are not following Christ. This is sad. This is painful. If you don't have the love for that individual, you're not going to be sad. And that's the proper frame of mind. It should be an upsetting thing. But you have to have that love for one another. That's your individual responsibility. Admonish. Now here's another word that we just don't normally talk about too much anymore. Admonish somebody. Well, back to Merriam-Webster. It's to indicate the duties to. In other words, you're going to tell the person or tell somebody that they have duties that they are responsible for, that they have obligations, and it's also to express warning. So we're going to admonish somebody. Just as Matthew 18 and some of the other ones, that we're going to admonish them and say, hey, you're in the wrong place. You're heading down the wrong place. This is an individual responsibility. Once we withdraw from somebody, that doesn't mean we're done. They're gone. We don't have to worry about them anymore. The withdrawal process can take years, because as you come in contact with that person, it is your responsibility to admonish them in whatever possible way that you can. I ran into somebody that I knew that we withdrew from years ago in the grocery store back a few months. And I knew I probably had 2 or 3 seconds at most. And I could see it coming. Sometimes you don't even see it coming. Sometimes all of a sudden somebody's there. So I made sure that I made myself known to the person and said, how are you doing? Miss you. And that was a passing conversation. But I allowed that person to know and admonish them at least that they're still thought of. We still miss them. They're still my brother or sister. I still want them back. It's not over yet. But we have to admonish them. That is one of our responsibilities. We're also to encourage. If they're receptive, it's a hard thing being withdrawn from. To sit back and look at all of you and go and stand in front of you and say, I messed up. You're my brothers and sisters. I know that you love me. You want the best for me. To say I've messed up, that's hard. So it's going to take some encouragement. You need to straighten this out. You need to right yourself with God. But that's our individual responsibilities, to encourage those individuals. Your responsibility is to withdraw yourself completely. In a day and an age, it used to be somewhat easier, I think. But with the advent of social media, this becomes a little harder. But when we have the instructions to withdraw yourself from somebody who is walking in sin, it needs to be complete. You need to look at what you're doing and whether you're withdrawing yourself or not. I'll use Craig as an example. So we withdraw from Craig. But Craig and I get together on Saturday mornings. We go golfing. We're still doing that. I still share his things that he posts on Facebook. Oh, that was a cute picture of the kids. I shared it. Yeah, I like it. Oh, that was cool. And I like it on Facebook. We tweet back and forth. We do whatever other social media people are involved in. Have I withdrawn myself from Craig? No. The answer is no. That relationship has to change. Withdrawing yourself means a complete change in that relationship, to the point where those other pieces up there, loving that person, admonishing them and encouraging them, still is there. But us getting together and going, oh, yeah, the church withdrew from you, but it, yeah, we can still play golf. We can still have cookouts together. We can have... No, that needs to change. Or Craig will not think, well, yeah, so the church withdrew from me. Nothing's really changed. My true friends are still there. And as we talk about withdrawal, it has to be, as we talked about, the church doing it together. Because it only takes one person, only one, to undermine the whole thing. Because if Craig and I are still friends, and he is my brother, I still love him. If we're still doing that together, what's Craig's reaction going to be? Well, my true friend, he understands. He hasn't departed from me. Everybody else, they just don't understand. They're jerks. They're whatever else that he wants to use. that whole process is now undermined, and it means nothing. And it collapses. It's the same way as when you're raising kids. If you have one parent that says, no, you can't do that to a child, and the other parent goes, that's okay. I understand, you know, your mom or dad don't, so you can go ahead and do that. What did you just do for that child? You completely undermined the authority of the other parent. The parents have to stick together. And we were talking about this with our kids yesterday. It came up. And even our kids, as they got older, we found out that they tried to work the system. And they sometimes were successful and sometimes not. But when Lori and I were disciplining our children, occasionally, and Jonathan said he didn't realize this until recently, that suddenly, in the middle of talking to them or getting ready to discipline them, they would be sent to the room. And they were like, hold on a second, what just happened? And we'll pick this up in a few minutes, go to your room. Part of that was sometimes for the parent, Lori or I, to cool down and go, let's step back from this a minute. Other times, if Lori was across the room from me and I needed to get maybe cooled down or maybe I needed to handle it differently, she would give me a look. And I knew we needed to talk about this. So we didn't later undermine our authority of each other. And we would send a child to the room, talk about it, and then I'd go up and take care of the problem. That undermining is so important. If it's done, it just dilutes the whole thing. So this withdrawal, the individual, means that you have to withdraw from the person completely. You might not agree with the timeline that it was done in. You might not agree with all the specifics. You might not know all the details. There's a lot of different disagreement when it comes to this process. But the church as a whole needs to stand together. And that is an individual responsibility to do so completely. Oh, one other thing on Facebook. Just common courtesy. If you're getting into this situation and you need to withdraw from somebody, or Twitter, or whatever else you're doing, or a golf game, or what, tell the person why you're no longer getting together with them for a game of golf on Facebook. Send them a message and saying, because the congregation has withdrawn from you, because you will not repent of the sin, I cannot no longer be engaged with you socially on social media. So thus, I'm no longer going to follow you. Just unfollowing somebody is not fair. It doesn't give the message. It doesn't admonish them or encourage them. You need to be sending a message out to them. It's very, very important for they to understand. Here's another important part of it. Pray. And I stuck it here because it needs to be throughout the whole process. From the time that you realize that sin is involved to the time that the withdrawal is happening, and it needs to continue. I still pray for the return of our brothers and sisters who have been withdrawn from. I'm praying for people that you don't even have a clue or know who they are. There are brothers and sisters that I met down in Florida when Lori and I were first married. In fact, the whole withdrawal piece, I came real close. The boys and I were at a fire department expo over in Lancaster. And I saw some advertisement with one of our Christian brothers who I know has fallen away. And I saw his picture, and I knew that he was associated with that company. Whew, hard. But I went up and asked if he was there, because I was going to hang around and try to talk to him. I haven't seen him for years. So I've withdrawn myself from him in that way. But I saw an opportunity to admonish and encourage him. But alas, he wasn't there. And the guy started asking me how I knew him. It's like, well, we knew each other in Florida. And that's where I left it. because the guy didn't need to know. But I'm still praying for him. He's still my brother in Christ. I still want him back. And one other important individual thing, learn. Learn from what that person did. Being a thief maybe is no... You look at it and go, I can't even understand why people steal. It's just not a temptation for you. But watch the individuals and how they get in trouble and maybe what has tempted them or where things have led and learn from it. I'm an emergency manager in my real job, and we do a thing called lessons learned. And we look at old disasters and see how we can improve in the future. And for us as individual Christians, we have to learn. We have to look at our brothers and sisters and go, what tempted you to do that? What caused you? And to make sure that we apply that to our lives so that we can overcome that temptation. We learn. And most importantly, as we go through this whole process, you're going to mess it up. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to say what you want to say because you love the people. You're concerned about them. Learn how to do it better. Because this is just downright hard. It's a struggle. It's not easy. And it's painful. So something that's painful, it's not easy to talk about. But learn how to do it better in the future. We're back to this chapter, or passage, Micah 6, verse 8. I have one more lesson to go after this. Just off of this lesson here, there are 1,000 rabbit holes that we could go down. A lot of different questions that I just can't address right here because it would take too long. Dan asked me, he did cut out a song just so to give me extra time for us not to be so late. And he said, hopefully that'll give you more time. I said, well, Dan, I actually need about 5 more hours because there are so many rabbit holes in this. There are so many what ifs. But hopefully from the other lessons that I've taught, you'll see that we have general principles that we need to follow. So when you get into the, well, what if during this situation? What if during this situation? What? You can look at the general principles and understand how to follow them. There's so many of those what ifs. And they're going to change every time that you go through this. And in all the years, and I'm sure I can ask Wilson and so many of the other the men have even grown up in the church, all the instances that they've seen this, it might involve adultery, but the nuances have changed. There's something in there that's different that causes a slight difference in that needs to be considered. But when we look at this, all those what ifs, you know, what if they or they're doing this, what if one of the questions that come to mind, what ifs? Okay, so we withdraw from somebody. And they show up on Sunday morning, they sit down, they want to take the Lord's Supper. Do we withhold the Lord's Supper from them? That's a what if. That's a whole lesson in itself, by the way, on just the Lord's Supper. But that's one of the that could be one of the rabbit holes that we go down for this. And by the way, I don't think that you can do that. But a lot of things. There's a lot of areas in this that you need to study and keep learning. I'm just giving you some of the basics on this topic. This is the end of the lesson, so you can pull out your songbook. And it's normal to give an invitation. And Jonathan has helped me with laying out some of these lessons, because these lessons are, I have to say, the most difficult thing I've taught. And again, I ask you, if you haven't heard the rest of them, that you go back and listen to the first three. Because those are the foundation blocks to this one. But Jonathan has helped me with it, and he laughs at me and goes, how are you going to get the invitation in on this one? Very easy. When we get to the point of having to withdraw from somebody, to separate ourselves from a brother and sister in Christ, it is horribly painful. And it should be painful. We should love that person enough that it should be horribly painful. But you as a Christian should never get to that point that you're being withdrawn from. Don't allow ego or pride or your own selfishness or whatever else might be standing in your way to allow you to get to the point where you're not following Christ. And you get to the point where the congregation feels that they've talked to you that you won't change. And they feel like they just have to withdraw from you. You should never allow yourself to get to that point. Your brothers and sisters care for you. They love you. They want you to turn around. They want you to do what's right. They want you to edify them and encourage them in your proper place. You're part of the body. The body needs to be healed and fixed. So this morning as we sing the song, and I've talked nothing about becoming a Christian, but if you feel that you need to become a Christian, you've already studied all that, and that you need to become a Christian, take care of that. But if you're in a path of sin that you need your help from your brothers and sisters, now's the time to do it before we ever get to a point where you have to be withdrawn from. That's very highly important. Either one, please make your needs known as we stand and sing.